The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, in exploring the definition of the word "ar," brought us in thinking about light and thinking about different times of day and night into a discussion about Tesach Kochavim, into a discussion of Bein Hashmashos. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that vaulted us into the main sugya of Tesach Kochavim, of Bein Hashmashos, of Shkia, figuring out what the status is with twilight. And that was the sugya in Shabbos of Lamed Dalam and Beis to Lamed Hen and Beis. But ironically, it's the end of Maseches Pesachim that gives us the other half of the sugya. Up until this point, we've been exploring Tzeisach HaChavim in theory. In theory, there's a time called Shkia, there's a time called Tzeis, in between Bein Hashmashos. The Gemara says it's a Safek. What's the nature of that Safek? The Rav's beautiful Mahalach, that it's not actually a Safek as to at what moment do we switch over from day to night, but instead it's a two-layered shift, and Bein Hashmashos is both, and that's why Al-Pi Din, we treat it as though it were a suffix. But now I want to get a little more practical and figure out what does this actually mean. Because again, so what we know so far from the Gemara on Shabbos, Biyama, can you hear me? Clearly? Kiv, can you hear me? Fantastic. Yosef, easy to hear? Gevald. So what we know from the, if all we have is the Gemara on Shabbos, so we would say, right, you Google today, sunset today NYC, Google will tell you 5:59 is sunset in New York City. So as we said yesterday, you add a minute, because astronomical convention for sunset is when the middle of the sun dips below the horizon. Halacha waits an extra minute for the entire sun to disappear. The 6 o'clock is Shkia. You don't have a mic, so I need to hear you.
Is it really just a minute?
It's a minute, yeah. It's 2 arc minutes, I think, something like that. The visible sun. So I believe it's around a minute difference. So Shkia is 6 o'clock. So the Gemara said, okay, the Gemara and Shabbos told us, Bein Hashmashos goes until Tzeisach HaKochavim. The Gemara again, Gaon Lamed Daled Beis said, there's a period of time called Bein Hashmashos, which is Safek Yom Safek Lila, and it begins at Shkia. Okay, so it begins at 6 o'clock. And it goes, the Gemara says, on the bottom of Lamed Daled Beis, it goes for around 3/4 of a mil. A chok is Rabban of Yosef, a minute or two difference. 2/3 of a mil, 3/4 of a mil. If we assume for simplicity that it takes 18 minutes to walk a mil, certainly the most commonly described shita. So if you have an 18-minute mil, that's why you have 18 minutes for matzahs. So 3/4 of a mil is, in higher mathematics, 13 and a half minutes. Okay, so shkia is at 6 o'clock. So that means you have 13 and a half minutes of Bein Hashmashos. And that ends at 6:14, let's say, with the Gemara says on Lamed Hei Lebeis and Shabbos, Tzeisach HaKochavim. Right? When three, you can see the three stars, that's when it is Laila. So that's what you would get from the Gemara in Shabbos. Right? So Shkia is 6, Tzeisach HaKochavim is 6:14. We're good to go 13 minutes later. So that means that you could do Malacha at 6:15. Give a little tzef for Shabbos, 6:20. But that's Tzeisach HaKochavim. Now, we're used to hearing about a longer Tzeisach HaKochavim. And not only that, we're used to also sometimes hearing about 72 minutes. And I'll be able to tell. And where does all that come from? Because from the Gemara Shabbos, it seems like Tzeisach HaKochavim is really pretty quick. So as you saw, the Gemara and Pesachim seems to have a very different picture. Let's take a look inside together. Let's take a look. A Mishnah in Prashim 5-9 are about the halachas of Karim Pesach, and the ninth parak in particular is about Pesach Sheni. What does the Mishnah tell us? Ezohi derech rechilta. The Torah the other day, the Torah describes the Jew didn't bring Karim Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach. Either he was Tamei or he was the derech rechilta. A remote path, a faraway place, a faraway trail. Where was he? If he was Tamei or Derech Rechoka, then he has the right round two. then he has the right, he didn't bring Karban Pesach the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, he has the right to bring Karban Pesach instead the 14th of Iyar. On Pesach Sheni, we usually refer to the 14th of Iyar as Pesach Sheni. You should just realize, as is the case in Nisan, you bring the carbon the afternoon of the 14th, and you eat it that night, the night of the 15th. Pesach Sheni is what we call Pesach Sheni, is the day that you would bring the carbon Pesach Sheni, and you would eat it the following night. So what's this? At this point, much of the ninth parak is dedicated to halachas of Pesach Sheni. This Mishnah Taigil and Beis is looking specifically, zeroing in, what do you mean that you have Derech Mechoka? How far away was this guy on Erev Pesach that he qualifies for a makeup? So as you saw, the Mishnah has two opinions. What's the first opinion? What's the biggest difference between the first opinion and the second opinion?
The distance.
The distance. Right? The first opinion is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Min HaModiin. Ever been to Modi'in?
That's the city of
Modi'in. Well, it's hard. You have to figure out if modern Modi'in corresponds exactly to ancient Modi'in. But that's what it's all about. There was a city called Modi'in in the days of the Chashmonaim. And Rabbi Kiva says, Min HaModiin v'lachutz, from Modi'in and further out, ukim midasa l'chol ruach. And similarly in any direction. That's the radius. You draw a circle around Yerushalayim with that radius. The distance of Yerushalayim, if you're farther from Yerushalayim and Modi'in is from Yerushalayim, then you're far enough away that you're considered to be B'derech Rechoka and you are entitled to bring Pesach Sheni next month. And Rabbi Lezer says, no. Mi iskupa so azar, no guys had that trouble. That word iskupa is a doorstep. Like this is an iskupa. This is an iskupa. The doorstep. So if you're all in the Azara, I'm outside the Iskupa Azara. So Rabbi Kiva says I'm only entitled to bring Karban Pesach Sheni if I was miles away on Erev Pesach. And Rabbi Lazar says, no, you were right outside the Pesach Mikdash. Wow. Now that's pretty surprising. That doesn't sound very far at all. Miles away, that's far. We can handle how many miles is far. As the Gemara will. But right outside of the door, you were standing inches from the Azara. What does this mean? That's what the Gemara explains. The Mishnah explains that the Mishnais rarely give the Mekoros for the Shitas. And Mishnais rarely give Shachvatari, and Mishnais rarely give the Drush that forms the Makar for the opinion. This is one of the rare cases the Mishnah does. The Tanna Rabbi Yossi, a Talmud in Rabbi Kiva, says, L'thikach nakar al hay. That's why if you open a Sefer Torah, you open up a well-done Chumash, there's a dot on top of the hay. As you know, a Sefer Torah doesn't have the Kudas, a Sefer Torah doesn't have the Trump written in, but does have, every once in a long while, there'll be dots. And this is one of the cases. You open up a Sefer Torah, the Parshas V'Haloscha, there's a dot on top of the hay of Rechoka. Why? Lomar, Lom Nesher Rachak Vada. Usually when there are dots, that's a way of saying it's not quite as written. You have to understand this in a non-literal way. This is one of those cases. It says, therefore, well, we don't really mean far away. It's mean not on location. It's not really far. You're just not there. As an aside, we are going to focus right now on the first shita, on the shita of Rabbi Akiva. When you get to Mirt Hashem in your learning of Psachim, we're going to Mirt Hashem as a chabura between Ian Bekiz and we learn Mirt Hashem several Prakim and Masechta together. But I've mentioned this in the past, I'll mention again. Definitely strongly recommend that guys dream big in terms of the Masechta. Some of you will learn more Prakim, maybe some of you will seek to get on a plane, to get on a plane in Erev Rosh Chodesh El, Tavshin Pei Aleph, perhaps with 5 prakim of Masechta on your belt, maybe even with 10 prakim of Masechta under your belt. So when you get up to the 9th parak, you'll want to focus on both shitos. We're going to focus for now primarily on Rabbi Akiva, because that's where the Tesach Ochav, that's where the Be'er Shmosh's action is. But just to make a little bit of sense of this, very briefly, it sounds as though, again, when you get to the ninth period, you have to test this and see does this hold water. It sounds as though the machlokes in the Mishnah is whether the Torah is really giving like excuse. The Torah is speaking about having an excuse. That's the way Rabbi Akiva understands it. Right? There's a reason why you weren't there. You were miles away, so you couldn't bring Karim Pesach. You have an excuse. It's a great excuse, not such a great excuse. Okay, maybe you should have started traveling earlier. Don't wake up the morning of Pesach and wonder why you're so far away. Okay, you should have started planning, a week or two in advance. Okay, but you have an excuse. You weren't able to. For Rabbi, that's Rabbi Akiva's understanding, and we'll come back to that momentarily. Rabbi Eliezer's understanding, though, seems to be it has nothing to do with you weren't able to. Of course you were able to. You were right outside the doorstep. You were standing 5 feet from the Azar in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. You certainly could have walked over the doorstep into the Azar. It's not that you weren't able to. You were absolutely able to. And that's why Rabbi Yossi explains. There's a da'an dehei. Because don't read the simple meaning of the pasuk that, he was incapable. You were totally capable. It sounds as though Rabbi Lezer is saying, it's not with how difficult it was, but that you didn't start the process. That's, I think, the simple term in Rabbi Lezer. If you actually were in the Azara in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, you already were there. You got the process rolling, and you never ended up bringing Karim Pesach. Once you got your ticket punched on Yudal Nisan, you can't come back with a ticket on Yudal Iyar. You walked into the Azara, you got the process rolling, and then, again, maybe you were just lazy, or maybe there was a legitimate, whatever. You walked into that, your sheikh ran away, or someone wasn't feeling well, you turn around, and it's already after Shkia developed. We say, Rabbi Blazer says, then I'm sorry, you stepped into the Azara, you got the process started, then already you can't come back. But if you were never, if you were Bederech or Choka, if you stayed away, again, the Lez says, doesn't mean like really far away. It just means not on location. If you didn't enter onto the actual territory of the Azara itself, of the course of Erev Pesach, then you have the right, your tikkun has not yet been punched, you can come back on Pesach Sheni. Yeah.
What does Rabbi Akiva do?
I'm not sure. I don't remember whether the Gemara addresses or not. It's a good question. I do not remember. Should take a look and see if the Gemara addresses and what would Rabbi Akiva do with that? I'm not sure. I don't remember. So as I said, we are going to come segue back into Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbi is very fascinating. As you see, you can tell from the Mishnah which time do we pass in life. There's a quick way, and it usually works, a rule of thumb, to know which sheet that we pass on just from the page of the Gemara. Right. Well, that's sometimes. There's something that's an add-on to the Gemara. Hey, Mishpah Ner Mitzvah, that's what you're going to say, Shimon? What are you going to say?
I was going
to
say the second.
The second one. Ah, so maybe something passes like the first sheet, something passes like the second sheet. If you look carefully, Tzayikilin Beis, you see in the first word of the Mishnah, a little letter Dalet. That little letter Dalet, the tiny letter Dalet right before Ezohi. So the tiny letter Dalet sends you to the outside top corner. The E Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, right over here. I'm sure you've seen it before. The E Mishpat Ner Mitzvah was written by a fantastic Talmud Chacham Yeshua Boaz, who made the Mesoras Hashas. He made the E Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. He did them all without having the Mesoras Hashas. He sat down with a Gemara and began. He must have had some sort of index card system. I'm not sure, or just he knew everything about that. He started writing. This Gemara appears in other places. And here, and so that's the Mesoras Hashas. The English Veneer Mitzvah is telling you where you'll find lines of the Gemara in the Sifrei Halacha. So, for instance, the little letter Dalet on Ezohi, look to the top. The letter does Maimani Sham Halacha Ches. You look at the Rambam. Hilchas Karim Pesach, Perakei Halacha Ches, you'll find this called La Halacha. It tells you where to look in the Rambam, and sometimes the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch, the Smag. Those are the four Sifrei Halacha that he references. So it's helpful if you want to look something up. It's also helpful if there's a Machlokes, and there's a little letter on one of the two Shitos. If there's a little letter on one of the two Shitos, presumably that's the one that's called La Halacha. So if you have a little letter on Rabbi Akiva, but not on Rabbi Eliezer, so obviously it means Rabbi Eliezer is not quoted in Sifrei Halacha, and Rabbi Akiva is. In other words, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So every once in a while this trick will not work, but 99 times out of 100, if you have a machlokas and you have a little letter of the Mishmar Mitzvah, one of the two shitas, that's the one that we paskin like. And yes, you asked me before, if you take a look in the front page of the Gemara, Daf Aleph, they tell you who did what. The fancier Gemaras have a lot of Daf Alephs. So right over here, they tell you who did what, and right over here they tell you that Yeshua Boaz was responsible for the Masoras Hashas, the Emish Bener Mitzvah, the Torah Or, telling you where all the Psukim come from, and he also wrote the Shilta Gibor, I believe, on the Rif, where he collects other Rishonim on the Rif. And again, he did it all without a Bar Ilan and without a Masoras Hashas. Just, I think the Masoras Hashas, sometimes there are things in brackets, that's from a later Talmud Chacham. But the things are not bracketed, that's all from Rabbi Yeshua Boaz. Question? Question? Yeah. How to paskin? Yeah, my people was something to tell you how to paskin. Correct. Yeah. And of course, the best way to know is to actually look it up. Use the Emish Bener Mitzvah. If you really want to make sure, so see what the Rambam says, see what the Shulchan Aruch says. And again, as I said, it doesn't always work. Sometimes we don't exactly paskin like either shita. Sometimes there's more complexity. But again, nine times out of 100, maybe nine times out of 10. It's straightforward. The machlokas, we end up passing like one or two shittos, and the Emish Bener Mitzvah will tip you off. So we do pass the Rabbi Akiva, that is true. We do require the simple sense of Derech Rechoka. What is the simple sense of Derech Rechoka? Well, the Tanya Rabbi Akiva said it's min hamodiin v'lahutz. It's a distance from Yerushalayim to Modiin in any direction. I apologize to the Zoomers, we didn't set up the board. And here's Yerushalayim. So it's Modi'in or further out, and in a direction, in other words, you draw a circle, and this radius, the radius of the circle, distance from Yerushalayim to Modi'in. Now the question is, well, what is that distance? What's the magic number? What's the magic number? So Amar Ula says, Bini the Gar, Minamodiim, you're right here, it's spelled with a nun, and the modern city is with a nun. Correct? Often different girsos of Mishnayos in general will switch up to Yud Mem and Yud Nun. The Rambam's girsa often changes. So he says, Minamodiim Yushalayim Chamisha Asar Milim Havya. It's 15 mil. That's the distance. 15 mil, a mil is 2,000 amos. So this is, do the numbers. It's about 30,000 amos. So a distance of 30,000 amos all around. So if you are in any direction, more than 30,000 amos, more than 15 mil from Yerushalayim, so then you are Bederech Rechoka, according to Bekiva, and that's how we paskin. That's how Ula worked out. Where did Ula get it from? So Ula got it from the following. Who told him that the distance is 15 mil? Ula lives in Baba. So how did Ula know? How did Ula figure out that from Yerushalayim to Modiin is 15 mil? Because he had heard what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Barbachana was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan who traveled a lot. We know that from the fifth parak of Basra. And he was one of the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan who traveled between Babel and Eretz Yisrael and shared the memories of Rabbi Yochanan with the Talmudim in Babel. So Rabbi Yochanan said as follows. Kama mahalach adam v'yom asara parsos. How far does a person walk over the course of a day? 10 parsos. A parsa, you should know, is 4 mil. So 10 parsos is? 40 mil. So me'alos ha'shachar ne'etzachama, 5 mil. Shkiyas ha'chama tzitzachavim, 5 mil. So from alos to sunrise is 5. From shkia to tzeis is another 5. So how many is left from... Well, from sunrise to sunset, it's 30 mil. So there you go. Pashalei flossin. So that leaves you with 30. Chameser mitzafel palgad yoma. 15 mil from sunrise to chatzos. Palgad yoma is chatzi hayom. The chameser, another 15. Mi palgad yoma lo urto. Okay. So there you have it. So there you have it. It's 30 mil from sunrise to sunset. And from Shkia to Tzeis is 5 mil. The Gemara goes on Sadam and Aleph to point out that the Tanner of Yehuda is recorded as having said it a little bit differently by the Meisve. Yehuda Omer Avil Shurikia Echad Me'asar Bayom. The thickness of the atmosphere is, so to speak, a tenth of the span of the day from sunrise to sunset. What does that mean? So he explains. Teda, Kam Mahalach Adam Be'oni Bayom. How long can a person walk? 10 parcels. So the same 10 parcels. So 40 mil. But he has not 5 mil, but 4 mil from Alos to sunrise and from sunset to Tzeis. Me'os Ashachan Yitzachama Arbas Milim. Meshkiyas Achama Tzeis Avchavim Arbas Milim. Nimsa Av Yoshon Rakiya Echad Me'asara Bayom. So the thickness of the atmosphere. What do you mean? Thickness of the atmosphere? So the Gemara in Sa'idah of Days talks about how come you still see some sunlight after Shkia? So we know it's because the light is getting refracted through the atmosphere. The Gemara describes it as the sun traveling through the atmosphere. So how long does that take for the sun to travel through the atmosphere? How long does it take for all the light to filter out? 1/10. It's the total is 40, and 4 out of the 40, that's the amount of time it takes. But let's a lot of terminology here. But let's bring it all back. Let's bring it all back. The Gemara here says clearly that the amount of time from Shkia to Tzeis is 4 or 5 mil. We probably pass like a Yehuda, that's 4 mil. 4 mil, 5 mil. If a meal is 18 minutes, that's 72 to 90 minutes after Shkia. We mentioned before, you checked Google, astronomical sunset today is at 5:59, which means halachic Shkia is at 6. According to this Gemara in Pesachim, if Shkia is at 6, when is Tzeis HaKochavim? 7:12, right? Or if you think it's 5 million, even later, it's like 7:30, right? So let me get this straight. So the Gemara of Shabbos said that from Shkia, says, HaKochavim is 3/4 of a mil, 13 minutes. The Gemara of Pesachim says that from Shkia, Tzeis HaKochavim is 4 or more mil. That's a massive, that's almost an hour. When is, if Shkia is at, say, I look outside, I see when Shkia is going to be, it's 6 o'clock, and we see the sun disappear. Tzeis HaKochavim is 13 and a half minutes later, or 72 minutes later? Which one is it? A or B? That's a big difference. Who asked this question? Tarsus, right? Where? Both places. As a matter of fact, other places as well. So you have Pesachim open in front of you. We're learning Masechta Pesachim. Let's take a look. Hashem in the town. And the town is very bothered. So Tarsus decided, Dalam and Alf. The stone pepper of the Likir, my Zehobe Rashmash, the Mishishka Acham, because Mashpirim, Mizrach Maidim, Divir of Yehuda. If Yehuda gets this discussion rolling, from Shkia, for as long as there's a light in the third part of the sky, from Maskin and Hassan, the Gemara concludes in the bottom of the Yamad, as we saw, the Ashmash of Yehuda, Tlosa Rive Mil, 3/4 of a mil. That was the position of Rabba, right? Yosef had knocked off a minute, 2/3 of a mil. The Hachdar Yehuda Gufei, Arbamia, it's the same Tana. Don't tell me it's a Machlokas HaSugis. Don't tell me it's a Machlokas HaTana. It's the same Tana of Yehuda. Which one is it? Is it 3/4 mil or is it 4 mil? That's a massive difference. How are you going to solve that problem? How do you solve that problem? So before we read Tosfos, let's arrive at Tosfos' Terence. Let's begin to arrive at Tosfos' Terence on our own. What's the one the Gemara Pesachim does tell us, and the Gemara Pesachim does not tell us? What elements appear in the Gemara Pesachim? What concept is Pirin Gemara Tzachim?
It tells us
Shkia, and it tells us Tzeis. And that was the language of the Gemara. From Shkia to Tzeis is 4 mil, or maybe even according to Ula and Riechen, 5 mil. Right? But it didn't say anything about Bein HaShemashes. Now you say, well, okay, but I know that from the Gemara and Shabbos. Right? It said, Bein HaShemashes is from Shkia until Tzeis. Yeah? What do you mean? From Shkia to the Tzeis of the Ram.
From Shkia to the Tzeis, in the middle of 30, 15 is from Tzeis to
Pagul Yoma, and another 15 is Pagul Yoma. So we're using the word Urta to refer to Shkia.
Yeah.
Right. So we are talking about Laila. We never mentioned Bein HaShemashes. So Rabbi Tam says, well, he says, I have these two different pieces that have to put them together. The Gemara Shabbos gives us a little bracket, a little piece, three quarters of it. The Gemara Tzachim gives us an enormous piece. From Shkia to Tzeis HaKalchavim. There's four. So I have this enormous piece and a little piece. Which one is it? So Ben Tam says, take them and click them together like this. It must be I'm sorry, I realize that the board is bad for the Zoomers, and the board location is also bad for this afternoon. I apologize, I'll have to plan better next time. So, the Gemara, again, the Gemara in Shabbos, it says from Shkia to Tzeis, 13 minutes. And the Gemara in Pesachim, it says from Shkia to Tzeis is 72 minutes. How do I click these together? The Gemara says they go together like this. Tzeis, he says, Tzeis HaKochavim is at 7:12. Tzeis HaKochavim is at the Gemara Pesachim. Tzeis HaKochavim is 72 minutes after 4 mil after Shkia. The Gemara and Shabbos said it's only 13 and a half minutes. From what? 13 and a half minutes of Suffolk. 13 and a half minutes of Bein HaShemashes. We never said in the Gemara here that it's Bein HaShemashes for 72 minutes. We said from Shkia to Tzeis is 72 minutes. He says, but you're only mesupak about the stands for the 13 minutes. Which 13 minutes? The last 13. But the Gemara Shabbos says the Tzeis HaKochavim begins opening lines of the Sugya and Shabbos. Misha Tishka Hachama. He says, yeah, there are two different points in time called Shkia Sacham. This is Tom's famous double Shkia theory. He says, here the Gemara Pesachim means what we call sunset, what Google calls sunset, plus a minute. When the sun disappears. Take a look at Tom, and then I want to hear your question. Take a look at Tom first in the brief Tosis. In Sadi Dal Abanel. The second Tosis, Dear Asla Rebbe. Yesh Lomar. The Hachaka Amar Mitchilas Shkia. Here, the Gemara Pesachim is talking about the beginning of sunset. The Hainu Mishoshe Maschelas Hachama. Now, how would you describe sunset? We would have described sunset, as we have, is when the sun disappears under the horizon. But he says, and I would describe sunset as a moment in time. He's talking about the beginning of sunset, as though sunset is a process. What process? He says, Tchilas Shkia is Mishosh Maschelas Hachama Likanes Be'ovi Harakia. Once the sun begins to travel into the thickness
of the atmosphere, what we call it, disappears under the horizon, and it begins to get deeper and deeper until you there's no sunlight coming over the top at all. But over there, the Gemara Shabbos, it's all at the end of the Shkia process. Now, Rabbi Tam says, Shkia isn't a moment in time. Shkia is a process that takes almost an hour of the sun, as the Gemara describes in the next Amud, inside how it is, the sun sort of like traveling, so to speak, through the thickness of the sky. Which Leo Levy, in this lovely sefer, Zman Bahalacha, which used to be called Jewish Chronomy, the study of halachic, the study of the sugyas and the astronomy of Zman Hayom, very, very fascinating. So he points out, Obi Harakia is what we call the sun dipping deeper and deeper as there's less and less sunlight coming through the atmosphere. So Rabbi Yitam says, we see that as a process, not just a moment. Rabbi Yitam says, it's a process of Shkia. So it's Tchila Shkia and Sof Shkia. The Shkia starts at 6 o'clock, but Shkia only ends at 6:58, 58 and a half minutes later, or 3 1/4 mil later. By the time Shkia ends, that's when the Gemara Shabbos said, that's when Tzeis HaKochavim, that's when Bein HaShemashos begins. So this, Rabbi Yitam says, you click them together like this. There's something called Tzeis HaKochavim, and it happens at 7:12. There are two things called Shkia. One of them is being described in the Gemara Masechet at 6 o'clock. The other one is being described in the Gemara Shabbos at 6:58. It's a long process of Shkia. And when Shkia is over, you have 3/4 mil of Bein HaShemashos time. And when Shkia is over until, say, Tzeis HaKochavim. So that's why, number one, if you've heard about Reina Tam, Tzeis HaKochavim is 72 minutes after Shkia. That's the Reina Tam. He said, look, that's what the Gemara Masechet says. Now, Rabbi Tam alone, just to wrap our minds around it, we're just getting warmed up here. Rabbi Tam is both a, we often hear Rabbi Tam as a chumrah. Like, oh, he only ends Shabbos 72 minutes after Shkia. Right? Rabbi Tam makes it. Now, the truth is, if you were pure Rabbi Tam man, you would also be incredibly makel. It is told, I've not been able to verify this historically, but I think it is perhaps true. When Satmar Rebbe first came to New York, so he would be driving around in a car 20 minutes after sunset, as I Zuckman. Because, so you're looking at like, how could it be? Is Michal Shabbos? No, not according to Hashita. Because remember, according to Rebbe Tam, becomes fascinating. According to Rebbe Tam, a half hour after the sun sets, what's the halachic status of that time? Is it Yom, Laila, or Rebbe Hashmashos? Vada Yom. According to the Tam, the whole Bein HaShemashos only starts 58 and a half minutes after the Shkia. Because remember, the Gemara in Shabbos, which is talking about Bein HaShemashos, was clear. The period of Bein HaShemashos only lasts for the 13 and a half minutes, for the 3/4 of a mil. But when does that start and end? And the Tam says, yeah, it's 13 and a half minutes of suffix, but that ends 72 minutes after what we call Shkia. It starts 58 and a half minutes after we call Shkia. Wild! According to that time, it's Vardai Yom for almost an hour after sunset, because the sun is in the process of setting. Again, as the Tosis said, quoted from that time briefly in Tzadi Dalad, the Tosis quotes at greater length in Masechet Shabbos. Slightly greater length. That the Gemara Shabbos told Tchilas Hashkia. Excuse me, the Gemara Shabbos told Sof Hashkia, and the Gemara Shabbos told Tchilas Hashkia. So when the Gemara says, pointing at the time, when the Gemara says, Misha Tishka Hachama, that's when Bein HaShemashos, the period of Safek, begins. That's at the very end of the Shkia process, almost an hour after sunset. So if you're pure in Atomic, it's a Kula and a Chumra. Because Vaday Laila begins later, but Vaday Yom ends later. Because again, the Gemara Shabbos was clear that the period of Bein HaShemashos, the period of Safek, is only 13 and a half minutes. So we can negotiate when it is. You can slide it earlier or later. I mean, the Talmud says, it's Vada Yom for almost an hour after what we call sunset. And then you have your 13 and a half minutes of of Ben Hashmashes, of Safik Yom, Safik Bala. Questions?
So you're saying that the Sabra Rebbe held like the Kula of Rebbe Nikam, like also that way.
That's but what's reported.
People who hold Rebbe Nikam, not the Sabra Rebbe, like, stop eating. Right? They start Shabbos when everybody else starts it. So
So Chaim's asking one second. So how come we don't all do this? Right? How come no one does this? Even though it's Ramach Ben Atam, it's only a Chumras, not a Kula. No one's starting Shabbos. No one you know, who claims to be a Shomer Shabbos is in a car 20 minutes after what we call sunset. So why is that? So clearly, time is not the only approach. Yeah. I'm sorry? Okay, so Yosef makes a point, which we'll get back to at the Sefer Shabbos. So number one, right, time is not the only solution. It's clear, number one, that not everyone agrees with the Tam's conclusion. We'll take a look at the Rambam, and the Minchas Kohen quotes a number of Rishonim who clearly disagreed with the Rambam, with the Tosis's of the Tam's conclusion. There were clearly Rishonim who held that when the Gemara in Shabbos says Safik Yom Safik begins after Shkia, what we call Shkia. Now, if I take a look at the language for a moment of the Minchas Kohen, the second page of the Maram Kamos, in introducing, here's one of the a Dutch Talmud Chacham within Amsterdam. Period of the late Rishonim, early Amoron. Late Rishonim, early Achronim. So he wrote a very important Sefer Minchas Kohen, and the first part of it deals with Kriyashma, specifically Zman. So you see, just to see the first line of his treatment of the Rif, Mishatishka Hachama Tachas HaOfek, as soon as the sun disappears under the Ofek, under the horizon, Kidesh Hayom Misafik. So he read the Triya Shabbos Misafik, Ve'al Shabbos Ba Malacha. He goes on to quote the Rif and the Rambam and other Gaonim, and the Rambam's son of Avraham ben Rambam. So he says, there are plenty of Rishonim who disagree with the Rebbe Tam's conclusion. There are plenty of Rishonim who assume that the Gemara in Shabbos, when it says Shkia, it means normal, what we call Shkia, it means the sun setting. Not 58 and a half minutes afterwards when the process of sunset has ended. No, it means the moment of sunset. And Be'er Shmashos begins the moment of sunset.
We don't call it good.
So where we're headed tomorrow is in the following directions. Number one, we want to see who are these Rishonim who might disagree with the Tam, who we seem to follow, even the Kula and certainly the Chumra, because if those who are Machra and Tam are being Machra in both directions. So they're concerned with the Suffolk up until 72 minutes afterwards, because of the Tam. They're also concerned with the Suffolk immediately after sunset because of this other Shita, the Gaonim. We're going to dig into that more tomorrow. Step one is just who disagrees. And then, of course, step two is if you think that Ben Hashmashos begins at normal sunset, so then how do you deal with Ben Tam asked a very legitimate question, right? A massive steer between the Gemara Shabbos and the Gemara Pesachim. Which one is it? Shkia to Ben Hashmashos, Shkia to Tseis, is it three quarters of a mil, or is it 4 mil? It's a massive, massive difference. So we want to see number one, who disagrees, and then how do they answer the question, and then we're going to bring it all together and see what's really underlying the Machlokes. The Vilna Gaon was not the first one to disagree with Rabbi Tam, but it's often referred to as the Machlokes Rabbi Tam and the Gra, because the Gra is the one who really put all the pieces together that we'll see in some tomorrow. He really, with unusual, he's always super brief. He actually, probably the longest Be'er HaGaon of Shulchan Aruch. He talks about Rabbi Tam and why he disagrees and what the alternative could be. And we'll see, hopefully, the lundas and the diyukim and the cheshbin and the science behind it as well.